Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 26. The work and wonder of God the Father. May God bless your time in His Word. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you know someone with a great Father? Caring, compassionate, maybe even charming. Ever wish you had a father like that? How about when it was Father's Day and you heard all those sweet things people said about their father? How did you feel? What if you had no father at all? Or what if you had a father and he didn't care? He didn't care a thing about what happened. Those things can be quite a difficult thing for many of us in different ways. But you do have a wonderful Father. The most wonderful Father in the world, and you will hear about Him today. Our headings are two, simple, Your Father's Work and Your Faithful Duty in Response to Your Father's Work. Our goals are that upon the reminder of the work and wonder of God, that you will respond in moving closer to Him, in obeying Him with fortitude or being resolute in your obedience, and boasting about Him to the world. Question 26. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Together, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by His eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ the Son. I trust Him so much that I do not doubt He will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and He will turn to my good whatever adversity He sends me in this sad world. He is able to do this because He is Almighty God. He desires to do this because He is a faithful Father. So your Father's work. Your Heavenly Father determined to create, and indeed did create, heaven and earth and everything in them in 6 days. Exodus 20:11 says, together, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. And how was that done? Psalm 33, verse 6, together, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. But it was not as if there was some distance that God looked and said, be made. God was intimately involved in creation. And you see that in the details of how He personally made Adam and Eve. He took the dirt and formed them. And then look again what He does for you. Look at what He did for your children. Isaiah 44, verse 24, together. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and He who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by Himself. He didn't recruit others to do this work. The Lord was intimately involved in the work of creation. So reject the incredible claims, or what I call uncredible claims, of monkeys being your mother, or your cousin crawling out from primordial slime. Jehovah God created you ex nihilo. That phrase there means out of nothing, by His powerful word. He was the one directly involved. And because of God's creative power and style, everyone who deeply studies God's creation, especially the human body and soul, everyone who does that lives in awe. Think of how you have that invisible moral compass in you. If you came out of nothing, you had no basis of a moral compass. Your law would be survival of the fittest. If I can eat you and live, then I will eat you and live. But we don't live that way. We have a moral compass within us. That's how God made us. That's why you feel guilty when you sin. And if the evolutionist were honest, he would realize that he believes in a God of some sort. Because they do assume the existence of evil and good. And these are non-tangible things. These couldn't have evolved because there was nothing to start with. Rabbi Zechariah said a quote, and I give you a part of it there in the notes. And he says, when you assume there's no such thing as good, when you assume there's such a thing as good, you assume that there is such a thing as a moral law, on the basis of which is to differentiate between good and evil. And if you believe in a moral law, of course, you have to believe in a moral lawgiver. You don't make your own laws. Someone has to make that law for you. God made us with that sense of who He is. And the honest atheist would have to say, I'm not a true atheist because I believe in morality, which must come from God. See, happiness is not a chemical formula. I know many people try. They take these drugs and they try to create a sense of euphoria. But it's not true happiness. And it certainly doesn't stay with you for long, even if you feel a little bit better. God, on the other hand, is the one who created us. Real God, intimately involved in creation. Number two, your Father is not only creator of all things, but He's keeper of all things He has created by His external counsel and providence, by His direction and by His hand. Yahweh even cares for the smallest things, as we see in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Together, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? A sparrow. Who cares whether sparrows fall and die? And yet God does. He especially cares for the needs of children. An example of that. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Together. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? The verse in regards to children has to do with the fact that he says that if you cause one of these little ones to stumble, it will be better for you if a millstone be tied around your neck and you be drowned in the depths of the sea. He also says that their angels appear before me. You better watch what you do and how you care for them, because I'm watching out for their welfare. Just like He watches out for the welfare of the animals. And by the way, it's an interesting thing. We were chatting with somebody yesterday afternoon about this issue where, you know, we live in a time where you have two extremes. People who make the environment into God and those who don't care at all about it. That's where some people just get animals and kill them for fun. That is not honoring God either. You must remember that God wants to keep what He has made in its proper way. And we have to be responsible in how we take care of the earth. When you know that God is your creator, though, and when you know that God is your keeper, this truth will set you free from bondage and fear. You don't have to worry when you are sick. You don't have to worry when you are dying. You know that if you follow your creator, you are in good hands. And these hands are much safer than Allstate Company. You ever seen that ad? You're in safe hands. I think it's Allstate. Well, you're in safe hands when you're in God's hands. And He can keep you safe in your body and soul. That's the work and wonder of your Father. But this is also why you should want to worship Him. He made you and keeps you in His hands. So even though I was jealous when I saw people boast about their father last month on Father's Day, my father died 35 years ago, I must remember I have another father. There's no basis for jealousy. The Lord will give me what is good for me, and He cares for me in all things. Something my father, even if he were alive, couldn't do. And that's why God's work is so wonderful for you, the Father's work on your behalf. Look how the psalmist describes some of God's preserving work. Let's read from Psalm 104, verses 10 and following together. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from His upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that He may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. Even things that you take for granted, you realize this is all part of God's blessing for you. How He preserves you. How He gives you all the delicious things that you enjoy. Broccoli, cauliflower, eggplant. You children need to remember, well, maybe you don't like that so much, but there are other things you enjoy. You give God thanks for them because they are from His hand. That's why one of the first prayers you teach your children when they're learning to pray at mealtime is God is great and God is good. And then we thank Him for this food. It's training from early. Yes, God is great in His power, but He's good to us. He gives us what we need. This is my Father's world, and He takes care of it. And He's not subjected to time or age. No, we've had to deal with struggles. It's passed a few months ago only. And Victor's father died. I told about my father. Some of you have had to deal with losses in your own lives. But God doesn't get, He doesn't leave us. He even knows when a mosquito dies and He ordains it. He knows when a man cries. And men are not often willing to show that outwardly. That's the care. And that's why you worship God. Yes, for His greatness, but His goodness. And not just in the big things, in the little things. And look at some of those other things now. Even after you fall into sin, your heavenly Father restored you to Himself through the sacrifice of His Son to meet His justice. So you are now God's Son through His Son's death on the cross. John 1:12 together. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. To those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's God who will that. Yeah, it's more than the delicious meal you will have this evening. It's what He has prepared for you in heaven. Your salvation was even in His plan all along. Even before the world was formed, His love goes back a long way. You know, sometimes a parent might come up with an idea and say, okay, let me do this for my child. And then the child is all excited. Look at what my mom did or my dad did. your God, your real Father, the greatest Father of all. He was planning that even before you were thought about. Before the world was made, He was thinking about you. That's love. You see why I talk about boasting about this one? It's because of who He is. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, together. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The underlying part there is quite important, or just before that. We have obtained an inheritance. Now, it's nice that your father buys good things for you. And you know he buys a nice car for you. Smile, be happy. But could he buy salvation for you? No. Which one should you love more? I know the car will rust. I guarantee you that. And a few wonderful Canadian winters could be rusting a lot faster than you think. But not what the Lord gives, what your Heavenly Father's given to you. So, yeah, it's nice to have the car. But it's a whole lot nicer to have the salvation that the Heavenly Father gives to you. But not only does He do that, not only does He restore you and give you this eternal inheritance, He confirms this in your heart. I mean, especially when you don't see it yet. It's nice to have a will. But it's when you get your hands on the property itself and here the Lord works in you and makes you aware that you already have eternal life. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15, together. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Then Galatians 4, 6 and 7 together. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir of God through Christ. He makes that awareness in you that you are His. And you have eternal life. Your father might have a nice will, but revenue cannon might come for a slice. Or CRA now. Or somebody else might lay claim. And your share is diminished. Maybe you get nothing. But the Lord says the Holy Spirit will work in you and confirm your inheritance because it's in you. The sense of eternal life is real. So then how do you respond to this? God is this great God who made you. And then who started to not just show His greatness in creation but His goodness in recreation. He saved your soul. He provides all the beautiful things for you. The delicious food you eat, the clothes you wear, the house you live in, the country you live in. All of these are blessings from God. How is your response then to your Heavenly Father? First, you must believe and trust in your Heavenly Father because He is Almighty God. You must not join yourself to other gods, which are no gods at all. For they can't save, and they can only guarantee you a place in hell. You serve any other god than a Trinitarian God, the only guarantee you have is hell. But look how easy it is for men to put their trust in other gods than in the true God. God simply did a miracle through Paul and Barnabas, and the people were ready to make them into gods. A long passage, but you'll see what I mean. Acts chapter 14, verses 11 through 15. Together, Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Laconian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought an oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them." So quickly they were ready to take on other gods, make Paul and Barnabas into gods. But they were quick to point out the other thing. We are not gods. Look to the one who made you. Look also at Genesis chapter 18, verse 13 together. "And the Lord said to Abram, 'Why did Sarah laugh, saying, "Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.'" See, the point is you must trust and believe that God is faithful and will do what he promised, even though it might seem so impossible, like old Sarah, 89 years old at the time, and saying, "Not going to happen." And the Lord rebuked her for her doubt. You see, what was the problem? She didn't have her theology right. She didn't know about the work and wonder of God. She didn't think about God enough as creator and recreator. And so she doubted God. See, that's why you study doctrines. When someone comes up and say, "Well, I just love Jesus. I just want to trust Jesus. And I'm all excited about Jesus." And then you say, "Well, what do you know about Jesus?" Not very much. This is why doctrines are important. This is why you need to teach the catechism to your children. Because they will know more of the depth of God. And not be as doubtful as Sarah was. Also, Yahweh humbled the Egyptians and destroyed their faith in their idolatrous gods and set Israel free to go and serve him. Remember, that was the point. "Let us go into the wilderness that we might serve him," Moses told Pharaoh. And no one was able to stop him. Though Pharaoh tried to stop him, he was unsuccessful. Look at Romans 8:28, a verse I'm sure you've committed to memory now together. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Your Father is not subject to time, and he works beyond time for your good. So here's a warning. Don't treat your husband as your salvation. Don't try to live through your children. Don't live for the fact that you can boast about, "Look at my children, how wonderful they are. They can play Beethoven with their eyes closed. They're so bright, the universities are lining up to get my child." So what you're doing there is you're ignoring the fact of God being the source of the wisdom and blessing of your child or of your husband. There's some who love to talk about their husbands. Don't treat your husband as your salvation. God is. He is the work and consider his work and his wonder. Don't treat your job as your salvation. "I got money, I can fix that." Now, how quickly your job can disappear. how quickly you can lose your skill. Takes one drunk driver in the road and look how many lives are turned upside down. Look at what happened in France. The people might have been, have all their futures in front of them. Those little babies, 80 some, probably more of them will die. How quickly that disappeared. But if your hope is in the God, your Father, who's your creator and recreator, then you're safe. No one can take that away. You know, some people put their faith in their education. That becomes their God to them. That can go too. One of the saddest things is to watch someone with Alzheimer's. Second experience with that was a woman who was an optometrist and just lost it. Where did the education go? Your Father is the one who's not subject to time, doesn't get old, doesn't get tired, doesn't get killed in an accident, doesn't get stolen. That's the one in whom you should place your trust and keep your trust. Number two, you must trust and believe your Heavenly Father and not doubt that He will willingly provide everything you need for your body and soul. The Lord will provide everything you need for your body and soul. So you must trust Him that He's your Savior, and second, that He will do everything that's good for you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 says together, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about the body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" You trust God that because He's Almighty God, but you also put your trust in Him because He will provide what you need. And you see what that does? There's no need to worry. Watch the person who's worrying and biting his nail. I'm going to lose my job. I can lose my car. I'm going to not get this promotion that I want. Well, don't do that. Why? Because you've got a Heavenly Father. He'll take care of you. He'll do everything that is good for you. Three, remember that God loves His children and He will always do what is best for you. We touched on one of those verses already, that the Lord works all things out for your good. But Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 and 10 together. "Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things?" Not only will He give you things, but He'll always give you what's right for you, things that are good for you. You must also trust and believe that your Father will always do what is best for you in your adversities. Not just when things are going smoothly. Good verse for that is Psalm 55 verse 22 that says together, "Cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." The Apostle Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 as well. He says, we feel so many pressures and we're knocked down, but we're not crushed. The Lord will sustain us. So don't be ungrateful. After all, how ungrateful a child would be if he disregarded what God did for him. How ungrateful were the French to God when they screamed at the time of the Enlightenment, "No God and no master." That was the theme of the French. They ignored God's work and flaunted them their own selves. It's not surprising they suffered. And this I wrote before the troubles that happened. What about modern evolutionists? They grope around the darkness for meaning to life. And they go about selfishly trying to get for themselves rather than putting the needs of others first, survival of the fittest. But it's not so for the child of God. He knows in his heart that he is God's child, and he worships the Lord without compulsion, and he serves the Lord with joy, because he knows his Father, and he knows what his Father has done for him. Right? That's why we're not selfish. That's why we give to the Lord's work, so his work can continue. We think of those who are underprivileged. We provide for them. We help to care for the needy. That compassion comes because of who our Father is. Know who your Father is. Let's conclude. When you consider the greatness of God's work of creation and recreation, and how admirable they are, you will faithfully worship and serve God, Jehovah God. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, to recognize the fullness of your Father's work, you need faith. Faith, which is a gift of God. Without faith in Jesus Christ, your worship is nothing but hollow sounds that do not pierce the clouds and go to heaven. It's just noise. That's why you need faith. How does that faith come? Faith comes by reading, studying, and believing the Word of God. So you need to be good students of the Word. You want to know about your Heavenly Father? You want to have strong faith? You need to go to the Word of God. How would the world get this message? We learned it in the first worship service about you being the ministers of God to go into all the world. What do you take? The Word of God. Why? Because that's the means by which they will get faith. That's how they will surrender to God. That's how they'll be brought into the kingdom. Let them hear of the work and wonder of God the Father. You see, the gospel is not Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. And if you accept that, everything's okay. It starts with who you are. It starts with who God is. When you start with showing the Creator, then you show God as the recreator. You show the holiness of God and the justice of God. All of these things are part of how you will save the world. That's the message the world needs. One of the tracts we've been giving out, it's called Bad News for Toronto Residents. And then you have some little thing about good news as well. You've got to talk about the bad news as well. See, it's the full message. That you must go to the gift of the world so that faith can come alive. But there's one more thing I'd like to suggest. I'd really suggest you take some time from your busy schedules and reflect on God's creation. We talked about this recreation. That's primary, of course. But take some time to reflect on God's creation. Think about God's rolling mountains. Instead of watching some stupid thing on YouTube, look at some of the pictures that people have taken as they've traveled through the Rockies or some other place around the world. Look at the streams and the way the water flows. Look at the greatness and glory of God. Look at some of the pictures from the Hubble Space Telescope. See the greatness of God in that way as well. Reason, admiration of God's creation adds to the glory of your worship. You'll have a better sense of whom you were, the one you are worshiping, when you look at the beauty of His creation. But if you're a non-Christian, you have not been able to see the greatness of God's work because you lack faith. Well, maybe God is giving you faith right now. If you sense God speaking to your heart, why not surrender to Him? He'll give you everything that is good for you, for your body and soul, and He will give it to you forever. He is that wonderful Father. You see His work. You see His glory. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your words, and we stand in awe of your glory. We stand in awe of your goodness. We stand in awe of your greatness. You made us for that we should worship you. You are the God of heaven, we should worship you. But you're also our Father through Jesus Christ. And we see your goodness directed to us in the most personal way. May we leave here with a refreshed sense of awe of our Heavenly Father, the one who never leaves us nor forsakes us, the one who chose us before the foundation of the world, the one who has our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the one who sent his own Son, his only begotten Son, to be a sacrifice for our sins. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.